The Weird Girls Club Podcast
with your hosts Maeve and Amy.
We're back. We're actually back in real time.
It's weird.
It's very weird.
Like, do you know we have not actually sat down to record in 5 months?
6 months.
Is it 6 months now?
6 months.
Oh my god.
Because we recorded everything.
Like last week of April was like, would have been the last time we recorded.
July, August, September, October.
Oh, I feel sick and nervous.
Feels weird. It does feel weird.
Like, I don't know. It's like, where is them 6 months gone?
I know. Like the last time we recorded, I was only 27.
No, stop.
That's, I am a sprightly 28. What?
That's so funny.
I know. It's weird. I don't like it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
Right, moving on from the
greatest. We just really went on like a... You'll learn all about it.
Yeah. Fucking crazy.
Stay tuned.
But yeah, we're like officially back.
I feel like we course ourselves
every time we say that though.
I know. And we're
I'm not saying the C word.
No, yeah, I'm not saying it.
We're not saying the C. Do you know what the... feel like, alright. It's like name. Yeah.
Not the four... letter
not to see next Tuesday words. Yeah, you can say that all you want, but like, oh
no, every time, like every year we've said like we are going to be
better than the year before
something comes up. Yeah. And but you know what, that's life though. Do you know what I mean,
that's like, what it is. Yeah,
shit life happens
gets
and
gets in the way.
You have to deal with what you're dealing with, like at the end of the day, like,
yeah, you have to deal with the cards you're dealt.
Exactly.
But yeah, It feels weird, but we're just kind of... I think we're just doing like a little chatty episode.
I feel like so out of like... I'm like, dude,
I almost feel like there's a whole audience here watching me do
so this. So do I. I'm so weird. Like, that's why I'm not even really looking.
Yeah, I'm like, can't look over there. Yeah, I feel like I don't know what to do with myself or something.
Like, I literally, like, the whole week and like, the last few weeks come up and we were like, oh yeah, we're going to record. I was like, oh yeah, we have to like talk about this. And I'm like, literally just before we record, we're like, what are we talking about? Like, what even happened in the last 6 months?
Like it's just wild. But we'll rip the band-aid off of why
there was some happy go.
Oh, are we all right? Because I was going straight in.
Oh, you are
well, like, because I was like, that's
like, I'm happy go lucky in your
but like that's, I suppose that like that's the chronological order kind of, I mean, of why we were on a hiatus. May as well just stand there, rip the band-aid off, and
do you want to go into it,
jump to that one?
Are we getting into it?
Yeah, we'll talk about it and then we can go into the happiest summer or whatever. But like,
is it weird that we're like that? You're gonna like, I'm literally getting.
Do you know what it is? I think it's because I've thought about this episode for like the last 6 months, and it's like now that we're here, I'm like, how do you even just say it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like, how do you say it in a way that like you like it's fine? Like how you say stuff to me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then it's like, how do you say it when there's other people? You know, people are gonna be listening. It's not gonna be like, is she for real? Like, is that like?
Yeah.
But like, fuck it, like, say your experience and how like if you, I don't even know. I honestly don't.
I don't know. I feel awkward. I'm doing like a school presentation or something, and like everyone's watching me.
But put it this way, it's an awkward topic even when you're not talking about it on a podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know definitely what I mean? Yeah. So if you do, you want to jump straight in and rip the back? Right, fuck it, we're going in.
Niamh's sweating. Niamh's like,
I was like, I didn't even have I need an alcoholic drink for
no
this
it's
shit.
Just that, so obviously we were gearing up, and the reason we haven't recorded since April was because we were gearing up for me going home, which we talked about in previous episodes and stuff, that I was gone home for a month. So it was like a lot of, not a lot of pressure, but like we were scrambling to get loads of episodes done, and we had them done. So yeah, stuff did come out in May, where like if you're like, we haven't recorded in 6 months, but I've seen this episode in May, whatever. We had them go out, and I was supposed to come back on the 6th of June or something like that, like the 4th week of June.
I was literally counting down the days.
Yeah.
I really was.
I broke Niamh's heart a couple of times at the start of the summer.
Like, that's when I'm like, you're never going home again. Never.
But yeah, so I went home, and then unfortunately there was like, what is it, the word even called?
Death?
No, not that one.
There was a what?
What is it called when you're, an unexpected sudden death in the family. And so that was literally happened like 3-4 days before I was supposed to come back to Canada. So everything was up in the air, everything was all over the place, and basically had to change my flight. But I was so caught off guard that I was like, I don't know when I want to go back. So I was like, in a, I fucked myself over. I'm death up to my eyeballs, for fuck's sake. But anyways,
thanks for Canada.
Yeah, love you. So eventually, obviously, I had to change my flight and stuff like that. But I left it last minute, Annie, like midnight the day of I was supposed to leave, like a few hours later. Changed, I had to pay $300 for another flight. So I ended up staying for another month. Because I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, is a week long enough? 2 weeks? Like, I really didn't know. Because I feel like over here, like, and I don't know if it's Canadians in general, or maybe it's just Irish people, that like, you're very close with all your family members. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. A lot of people I know, like, you're like, you're close with your aunties, your uncles, your cousins. Especially in my family and that side of family, like my dad's side of family. Like, I'm an only child, but I grew up so close with my cousins that it's like, they're considered sisters or like aunties and stuff that are close in age. So it's like, I feel like when you're, not that when you tell people over here, it's like, it doesn't hit the same when you're like, oh, my uncle's passed away. They're like, oh, so sorry. But you're like, that feels like a second dad or like someone, yeah, it's so very close. Different. It's, yeah, so, it's so different, I think, to, I don't know if it's like Irish culture or Irish whatever.
Yeah, because like some people don't have a close relationship, yeah, to their uncles or aunties. And I'm like, I'm kind of like that as well. We're not that close, like. But I do know, like, have friends and stuff that are like you, like, that are close, yeah, to like their aunties and their uncles, especially when any of them are like close in age, or any, like, even if they're not, like,
both, yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, some families are just closer knit.
Yeah, I think, cause, I mean? Do you know what, it's funny because it's like, I think it's because my dad's side is a lot smaller.
Yeah,
like, there's my dad, he has two brothers and a sister, mm-hmm, and it's like, then we were all in that, like, growing up, we were all in that house, because that was my nanny and grandma's house, then they all lived there. And then it's like, I think as well, when you spend time growing up and you kind of live with someone as well, like, we all, mm-hmm, live, I'd go there like on the weekends or during the week whenever, because obviously my man and I are separated, so I'd float between the two houses, like, yeah, all my life.
And that's how you're probably close as well, because you had to float between two, yeah, houses,
and you
too,
spend, like, so much time living in a house with like people you're gonna be close, especially if you, mm-hmm, get on, like, yeah, right, fair enough, not everyone gets on with our family, especially like extended family and stuff. But it's like, we're actually, we're only talking about this, and it's like are we not weirdly close? I don't want to be like, oh, like a bit creepy close here. But it's like, I don't know, it's just, we're all so close, mm-hmm, and like, it's such an unexpected thing, since like, we haven't had, say, a big death like that since my granddad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, oh god, I don't know how old I was when he died. I think I was in sixth class, something like that. So like, what, how old are you in sixth class?
12, 14,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah, something like that. So like, that's like over 10 years. And then before, yeah, that was me nanny, which she was about 3 years before we got out. So it's like, it's been that long where it's like, it's even for their extended family, maybe past like older people and stuff like that. Like, so it was really unexpected, and I was like, I think a little part of me was like, oh, do I want to go back? Do you want something like that happened? You're like, it's kind of your biggest fear. But I'm back here, and now we're back recording, and yeah, it took a while though. I think both of us, when you're out with something so long, it's so hard to get back into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, with recording, plus, like, podcasts and
it's
stuff.
Not just like a thing where it's like, right, I stayed longer, like, I stayed for the funeral, I came back, like, and then everything's grand.
Yeah,
it's like, you, like, obviously we're still processing stuff, mm-hmm, and it, like, it was just a shit show.
Yeah,
basically, you just, it was like one thing after the other.
Oh, I totally forgot about nothing. Oh my god, I've had a traumatic year.
You have, like, like, that's why, like, we didn't.
No, how did I
back,
just,
like,
I just forgot about that.
Blocked out trauma.
Literally, I think that's what it is, just blocking out the memory. Yeah, well, I suppose I'll bring that up.
So you don't have to.
I promise the episode might get a bit cheery, and we might have, like, stupid tangents later on, but actually, yeah.
Should I just put a big black and white filter over this episode?
The crying window to me and thing. Oh my god, yeah, I must have blocked out. Remember, it's only looking at Trent there that I remembered when you were like, oh yeah, and more,
I was like, one
happened.
Thing after another. I was like, but I didn't know if you were gonna go into it, so I didn't.
I know, it honestly just slipped my mind, don't know how. But yeah, so obviously I sat there for a month, and like, thank god I had initially brought my work stuff with me, and I was able to continue working from home. That's how I kind of lasted there. But then my ma had a holiday booked, and she went a few days after the funeral. So they went away. So I was minding the dog, me family dog on me ma's side. I was minding in my dad's house. And unfortunately...
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
Nerves?
I think so, because it's like... I don't mean to laugh. But anyway, right.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry, so.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, then, my dog got... I need to say it without laughing.
Do you want me to say? She needs a moment.
Yeah, go on.
So Amy was minding our ma's dog, or the family dog, in our dad's house while our ma was away. And basically, like, long story short, the dog got out the side gate and got hit by a car. And unfortunately, RIP Buster. Buster did not survive the hit and run.
Why am I laughing?
It's just because nerves, like, it's awkward as well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but,
my mom's got to watch. She's like, I'm going to batter you.
Well, we're respecting.
She's like, you keep laughing.
In memory of Buster.
That was like two weeks after.
If even.
I feel like it was like.
Don't know what, I could be wrong though. I feel like the funeral happened and then like a week or a week and a half later.
Do you know what? I'm pretty sure it was the 19th of June.
Because your mom was away.
Yeah. So. Do you know the specific reason why I actually remember? Because it's like, it couldn't happen at a worse time. Obviously, whenever you lose a pet, it's really sad. But like, it actually, I'm only remembering now. So my mom was away in Lanzarote with her partner. Now this dog's like their baby. Like this dog, we had it before, like just before I moved here, but it kind of like was there to replace me and give me my comfort again, being an only child. So it was like literally our baby. And then they were away and it was me ma's anniversary, so it was literally like I had to ring me ma on our ma's death anniversary and tell her that our second child, our dog, our cuddly companion has passed away. And I think that was the hardest phone call I've ever had to.
Yeah, because you don't like breaking devastating news to someone, especially like when they're away.
Yeah,
but you had to let her know because she couldn't come back.
Yeah, of course, like it couldn't go any longer. Like,
and plus you needed answers. Like, you need to be like, what do you want me to do? Like, vet wise and stuff like that.
The
like,
difference with a person passing and a dog passing, oh my god, they are so speedy quick. You need to know what you want to do as soon as that dog dies, or I assume cat or guinea pig, whatever.
I'd be like, I want a fucking horse and cart to bring me, like, dog to the grandma door. Like,
yeah, like you ring the vet. Or first of all, a lot of vets are fucking assholes. First person I rang, he was like, oh, I can't tell people who don't know what they want or options.
Like,
I don't know what the options are or what I'm supposed to say. Like, what do you mean? But anyways, I end up ringing. Is it UCD?
Yeah,
UCD vets, like they have kind of like a 24-hour emergency room. So I think it's students. They were amazing. Your one was so nice on phone, but she did say, she's like, unfortunately, you need to know what you want done before you can bring them in. So then
you don't really want to hold them.
Yeah, like they can't really hold them for that long and stuff like that. So yeah, just a word to the wise to anyone, you need to know whether you want your little dog created or what you want done, or just hand them off. I don't know, that's weird. Then someone, one of my dad's friends goes, oh, you can read the corpo and give them like 20 euro and you take them away.
Yeah, because apparently you're not allowed to bury them at your back garden anymore.
Whoops, Lorraine's done that.
Yeah, that's like illegal now.
Oh.
You're hanging your fucking auntie.
Oh, see.
Yeah. Apparently you're not allowed to anymore.
That's weird.
Even if you own the house, you're not allowed to make it make fucking sense.
I wonder, is it because if you sell it in the future, would you have to list like there's a dog
buying? I think it's to do with like foxes and shit like that.
Maybe. A fox tried to get Buster, literally, like, it wasn't even dark.
It wasn't even cold.
Literally. Oh.
But yeah, so Amy's had a whirlwind.
Yeah, that was a whirlwind start to the summer. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So and how are you now? Like, have you processed it? Or is it just like, you just kind of adapt to being back? Like?
I don't really know. Like, obviously, I don't really know. Like one day I'm grand. It was definitely when I first got back. It felt so weird being here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, felt so weird being, even when I was in the Uber, and like as soon as I got to like kind of off the highway, kind of into like where I'm proper familiar, I was like, this just feels so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even like there was at a point where I was like, it was like I just totally forgot I had an apartment in Toronto. I think I was walking.
Because you were so involved, like there was so much happening in Ireland, and obviously the universe works in very mysterious ways, mm-hmm. that it worked That's out it, that yeah. everything that happened was when you were home.
Yeah,
like you were there, like I you think were that's able
the biggest
to...
thing I'm like grateful for, in a sense, because I couldn't imagine being here and receiving that news. and having to travel, having to figure out booking a flight, packing a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine I had it, like, because I wasn't initially actually gone for a month. I was gone for like maybe 2 weeks. I was like, oh, maybe I'll go like, because I went home for a communion. So I was like, oh, I'll go the week before and come back the week after or something. Even if I had it came back the week after, like, I would have not missed it, but like, I would have been back before that happened.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that like it literally happened like 3 days or something before I was supposed to come home.
Mm-hmm. Because you were only coming back, even at the date you decided to come back, was for Dermot Kennedy.
Yeah, we were supposed to go to a concert, yeah.
And then we're all just like, like, that's not the vibe right now.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah, it's crazy how everything worked out in that sense. Like, that I was there and stuff. And that's what loads of people were even saying. They were like, oh my God, it's mad that you're here. I was like, I know. Like, it's actually crazy to think that.
It just, like... Like, does it make you think about life differently now that you've kind of gone through that and all, like, through losing someone at like an older age? That you can kind of, you're not young enough to be like, this is probably going to sound like, I hope I can word this right, you're not young enough to be like, oh, they're just a kid, like they don't they don't fully understand. But now you're an adult and you kind of see like how death and grief is just awkward.
Yeah,
like you don't know what to say to people. You don't know how to comfort people. Not that you don't know how, but it's like, it's just, I just find death so awkward. I hate when there's like a death in the family and people are coming up to you and they're talking to you. You're like, should I be smiling? Should I be laughing? Should I be crying? Yeah. Should I be? It's just weird.
They're all the emotions you go through where you're like, if you laugh at something, it's like, cause you forget for a minute and you laugh at something and then you're like, oh shit, this really bad thing's happened. Like, and then it's like the guilt of, oh, I'm laughing in a moment, like at a time like this. And it's like, they're all the different things you go through with like the different emotions where you're like, you feel guilty or you feel whatever you may feel. And then you're like, oh, am I being selfish thinking this way or that way? Like, whatever it is. It's definitely completely different being like this age and an adult, because you're so much more involved in everything as well. Like, when you're a kid, yet you're told this devastating news and you're kind of like, oh yeah, they're up in heaven, they're here, like, and yet you're sad. But like, I think maybe you think about it less when you're a kid.
Yeah, I don't think you fully I think as an adult, when you lose someone, it cuts so much deeper.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, I don't know if your ma was like this or like your parents were like this, but I know when, like, anytime we lost someone as kids, like, my ma and dad didn't shelter us from that as much as I probably now wish they did.
Yeah.
Which Aaron was different. He was very sheltered with death.
Oh.
He didn't we were like, when someone died, like you were as much involved as a child. You seen everything.
Yeah, you were
like,
told, and you were
you were told, like, you went in and you seen them, like, there was no sheltering us from that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And it's like,
no, I would have been the same. I don't mean in that sense. Like, when I was younger, when me nanny died, she would have been like the first big death, kind of, like, that's someone you're really close with. But she was sick for about a year, like, with cancer. Like, she had went on a holiday. Oh, this is a creepy thing, room. So me nanny and me auntie and my granddad all went on a holiday to Spain, and me nanny had been like sick, like, she couldn't walk for very long. She had like arthritis and stuff like that, but the doctor was always like, oh, your grandma. She went to Spain, Bella Medina or one of them Costa del Sol, one of them places, and she only got there and she was like rushed to hospital and stuff, and they done all these tests on and found out she had bowel cancer or stomach cancer. So then she came back from Spain, like, and she was in a wheelchair, and then it was about a year and a half later, I think, that she had passed. I know she'd obviously went during summer, and I know she died in November, but, so I'm pretty sure it was a year. So then it like progressed, like, we knew she was dying. She was in and out of hospital, then she was in a hospice, then she'd been at home. So it's like, we knew eventually, even as a kid, like, I would have been 8 or 9, because she was at then my communion in a wheelchair, and then she passed then that November. So it's like, I knew she was dying, but it was still like the first big death, like that, like, it's someone that close to you that you're always with. So like, that would have been that. And then there was a few people I knew that had passed out like that, like, still went in to see them. You knew they were dying and knew they had, like, cancer or whatever was wrong with them. So it was, like, in that way, yeah, like, I definitely wasn't sheltered from stuff like that. Like, I was told, like, oh, your nanny's sick, like, she probably will die or whatever. And then when she did pass, like, we knew straight away, and none of that stuff was kept for me. And I went seeing a funeral home, stuff like that, and at our funeral and everything. Then with my granddad was a sudden death as well. But, like, that, like, obviously he was a bit old. Well, I say a bit older. I think he was, like, 54 or something. Like, I and granddad.
That's, like, young.
Yeah, like, that's why it's bad, like, thinking of that now. Like, I don't know. My mom's actually not 50. My mom's still in her 40s. But, like, whole partner's 53. So, like, he's the age. Mm. Me and Annie and Granddad were when they're passing. It's like, it's mad when you think that, because when you're younger, you think everybody's much older than what they are.
Oh, yeah. You think 21 is the new 41, you know what I mean?
You think everyone's much older, because, like, even like that, like, even with my uncle that passed recently, he was only 49.
Does it give you a different perspective on, like, life since you've gone through it? What, like, do you mean? In the minute of, like, you know now, like, how quick things change?
Oh, yeah, because it's like, I think living here, it's always something that's on your mind. I think your parents, I know it definitely is for me, that's like, oh, they're getting older, like, you realize that it's like, oh, your parents aren't gonna be around forever. Mm-hmm. Or this person's not gonna. I think in a selfish way you always think of your parents, but you forget there's other people that you're close with that's around the same age. Like, I've aunties, uncles that I'm close with, and it's like, they're also, I think that was a big eye opener, whereas, like, I'm constantly thinking of me mom and me dad. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my god, they're getting older, should I live away when they have, like, god, I know, like, touch wood, whatever, that they live to another 40 years, like, and they're in their 80s, because they are relatively young, like, they're both in their late 40s. But it's like, you're thinking about them, then you forget there's other people around you that have been in your life forever that are also aging. And it's like, it's very scary thing, but it's like, oh my god, you just foreshadow all this death, and they're like, can I go for and you don't have to deal with.
Yeah,
you, but it's like, yeah, it is scary, like, especially living here. It's like, there's like, is there gonna be times, there more than likely will be if I'm still living here in the future, where it's like, you get a phone call and it's like, so and so's passed away or this, that, like, and it's a bit scary.
Yeah,
it's definitely something I always think about it a lot.
Put it this way, like, that's where, and I don't know if it's like talked about enough of when people like live away and stuff like that happens, because not that we're not sad that, like, if say if someone dies at home and we're told about it and we can't get home,
it's just weird. Yeah,
I remember I had only moved here, and on my dad's side, like, his auntie, who we would have been close to, like, real close to, she was dying, like, and I remember, like, 2 days before I had to fly here,
yeah,
that I had to go into the hospice and basically, like,
say, like, your wise, kind of
say me goodbyes, but not say goodbye.
Yeah,
and I knew, like, leaving that hospice, like, I'm not seeing her again.
Yeah,
and I remember walking through the car park, and I was like, don't you fucking cry, like, don't you fucking dare cry, like, you've no right to cry, you're not the one dying, like, do not cry. And I remember, like, I just did not, like, I remember, like, and I'm not,
it's
a crier,
okay to cry.
No, but I am not a crier, and I was like, I would rather lick a public toilet than cry in front of people. Like, I hate crying.
Yeah,
I'm like, I feel like I'm being looked, like, I just don't like it.
Do you know what it is?
It's just weird. And then flying here,
yeah,
and then literally the next day after I flew here, like, she passed.
Yeah,
but then, like, I still forget that she's not around, because I wasn't there for the funeral, and I wasn't there for, and I sometimes, when I'm on phone to my dad, I'm literally gonna say, like, how's
on site, yeah,
and but it's weird, it is weird.
That's funny, because, like, that still happened me with my uncle, even though I was there when it happened. Sometimes, like, I'll be sitting there randomly, like, oh my god, that person's
because
dead.
You literally can't fathom that they're gone.
And it's like, maybe it's because I'm not there around everyone, and, like, I'm back out of the situation of, I'm not there every day with, like, that side of my family, or, like, in general, like, I'm not here in Ireland. So whereas if I had been in Ireland, I probably would have seen him every day, like everyone else that I would have seen, like, close to every day would have seen him. So it's like, because I'm over here, it's back, like, oh yeah, I live here, and it's like, you just don't see them people every day. So it's like, you kind of forget, in a sense of where I'll be like, oh my god, yeah. I remember when I first got back, like, it was hard, because I was like, I just kept thinking about everything constantly. And it's,
you're
like,
trying to process it.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're in the storm, it's just like, right, let's get through today, and let's, like, plan this. I think it's when you step away and you have more time.
You have
to
all
just
the
think,
time in your own. Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, now it's hit. Like, now it kind of hits you.
more, which I think is what was probably happening as well, because it was just so much.
Yeah, because that's what, like, it was so hectic. Like, even in my dad's, like, people kept coming up, and like they were bringing up stuff, like they were bringing up loads of, like, fair plates, and like loads of people were bringing up, like, trays of food, and, you know, like little things like that. And
it's a real Irish thing, though, as well. Like, well, not that they don't do
a whole
here,
shop, like, one of my dad's cousins brought up, like, with tea bags and sugar and tea.
That's what you have to do, you look after,
like, just loads of stuff like that. And it's like, it was only at night, when, because I did stay in my dad's quite a bit after having to, it's like only at night I would kind of be the last one up in the sitting room, and then I'd go up to like bed or whatever, and it's like it was only then when I was on my own, it was like you'd sit and think about everything, and you'd be like, oh my god, shit, yeah, like that's happened, like he's not
comes
walking
in waves
through, yeah, like he's not walking through the door in the morning, or he's not gonna be here or there or wherever it is. And it's just like, it's just weird to then think about, I don't know, like I wonder what it's gonna be like the next time I go home. Like, not that I've really planned to go anytime soon, but like,
I think it done you good staying the extra month, because
I definitely needed it.
I think you definitely needed it, and I think also it won't be such a shock to your system when your uncle's not there.
Yeah,
you've been an extra month with your uncle, not that like it still won't be probably a little bit weird, but the next time you got home, like, you'll see how everyone has just like pushed through every day, and like, oh, I don't want to say adapted, but like, you know what
that's
I mean,
what, yeah, you learn to live. I don't think you ever get over it, no, like that, like people are always like, oh, it takes time, like, for it to go over.
You'll,
and like, realistically,
do you know what I mean?
I don't think you ever do. Some days are easier, some days are harder, and I think that's how it is when you're like live with someone like that,
roll with the punches, like, because it comes in waves, do you know what I mean?
That's it, like, that's it. Like, even day when we were talking, when I totally just forgot about Buster, yesterday my mom sent me those pictures of him, and I was like nearly crying, and it's like, then today I just forgot that even happened.
Who are you talking about?
I'm like,
what?
Who?
What?
But yeah, because you know what's funny, I remember, so my ma, oh, it sounds bad to remember, like, she replaced him, so my ma has already gotten another dog, like, she had another dog within a week, and I was so annoyed, like, I've never been that annoyed or pissed off about something. And I remember she was back in work, and I was walking from the house, and she was sending me pictures of, like, rescues and things, dogs up, dogs up in Dogs Trust or whatever it is. And I was like, oh yeah, they're cute and all blah blah. And then she's like, oh, because at first I don't think I can ever get another dog. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll rescue one or something. And then, like, at first even I was like, oh, I was like, look, all these dogs on being dogs out here or whatever it was she was looking at. But then I remember sitting there after I finished work, and she still wasn't home, and she sent me a photo, and she's like, oh, me and Connor are going to collect this on Thursday. And it was a dog, and it was the same breed as Buster. And I was like, I had seen the message come up on my WhatsApp, and I was like, what? And I didn't know, because I felt like she was replacing.
No, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was like, what do you mean I'm getting another dog? And especially, not that it was because it was the same one. I was just kind of like, oh, I was like, you're just going to replace him. Because then, right, so I already said me and my looked at my baby, so my mom used to call the dog me brother. And like, she'd be on the, like, say if she was FaceTime me, she'd be like, Busta, yeah, sister Amy's on the phone. Like, it was like, she loved that dog. So then she come in, I'd fell asleep on the sofa, like, I didn't text her back or open it. And then she came in, she's like, oh, look at your phone. And I felt real bad afterwards, because they were real excited.
And you just came and crushed
it. Yeah, because she, and I remember she was like, oh, look at your phone, look at your phone. And I was like, what? Because I had only woken up. They were like, oh, look at your phone. And I was like, oh, I've already seen it. And I was like, no, you haven't, because I didn't open the message, but I'd seen it, like. And I was like, yeah, I've seen it, you're getting another dog. And she was like, yeah. She's like, we're going down to get him. And I was like, all right. And then I went back in, like, I think I was doing something. And and she was like, yeah, all right. And I was like, yeah, I'm brown. And she's like, you don't see happy about the new dog. And I was like, well, is that my dog? I was just real, like, snappy. I was like, well, it's not going to be my dog. I'm only going to be here. Yeah, because I was like, oh, I'm going to be here for a week and I'm going to be gone. Like, it's not the same. Like,
yeah.
I was like.
And then you're kind of like, I don't know if I want to get attached to another dog right now. Like, I'm still.
That's why I was like,
you have to remember as well, like, obviously, your mom was dealing with what she thought was right and how she was to deal with.
Yeah.
But you also experienced the traumaticness of it, because you were there when it happened.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So you were still processing them like,
dogs are heavy when they die. No, like, my arms were aching,
but do you know what I mean? You were there, like, you were still process, like, that, all that adrenaline and panic and
everything. Yeah,
like, that's not something that you wake up the next morning and it's like, oh yeah, I'm hunky dory now.
Yeah,
like, them feelings will always kind of stay with you and trigger you, like,
yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I was like, and it's funny because it's like, that's the one thing I used to say to you, like, every time I was going home, you'd be like, oh, are you excited to go home? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm excited to see Buster. Because I knew it was a reaction. No matter what mood I was in, when I'd see him, it lifts you up. Like, say you're wrecked because it's a long enough flight.
Dogs are, but just like, medicine.
He, no matter how long it had been, he'd always be so excited to see me. And then he wouldn't leave me excited. Like, me man Connor didn't exist. It's like, he'd sleep in my room with me. He followed me everywhere. Yeah. And even he'd come down to me dad's and say, like, if I was staying in my dad's and they were at me man Connor were out doing something or whatever, like, he'd come to so me dad's
just,
with me.
Are you just saying, like, you were his favourite?
Yeah, 100%. He didn't want to know them when I was there.
It was kind of full circle moment.
Yeah.
Like, you were the one there when he passed. Like,
yeah. That's what I'm like. I'm glad I was there for both events, but I was like, I couldn't imagine, like, being called for either of them, whether it was my uncle or the dog being like, they've passed away. I'd be like, I think especially with Buster, I wouldn't register with you, like, because it's not like you can talk to them on the phone.
It's like when Cody died and I was here.
Yeah, like,
as sad as I was, like, sometimes, like, I still being like, oh, where's, I'm like, never mind. Like, I know she's not there, like, because when Cody died.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's weird. It's weird to go home and, like, well, it was weird for me the last time I went home because I was waiting for Cody to come up with her leg, like, and I was like, oh, she's actually, like, that's weird, like, I'm actually have layers of skin still on my leg, like, she's not scratching,
she's out there scratching at me
for a rub, like, because she couldn't jump up. But it's weird. It
definitely, I don't think, getting used to
sometimes it's like easier when someone dies at home, like, rather be a dog and you're not there,
because
you don't, not that you don't feel the emotions, it's like they don't, for some reason, it doesn't, I don't know if it just doesn't sink in or it doesn't cut as deep, because you're not there to witness it. Exactly.
You can almost forget about it, and it's only when it pops into your head that, oh yeah, when I go home, they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
That's when it'll hit you, whereas if you're actually there, obviously you go through all them emotions that everyone's there, the shock and everything else.
It's heavy, like, because you have to kind of, like, it's like, because death isn't something, when someone dies at home and it obviously, like, that close, and you'll notice, like, it's not just something you sit around and you're like, all right, like, that's it. There's so much to do.
There really is. And I think that was, like, it was a blessing and a curse that it happened just before a long weekend with my uncle. So it's like nothing could happen. And it was like we had so much time. Well, I say so much time, we had like 4 days where you just couldn't do anything. So it was a lot of processing time, which I think was good that we had, that it wasn't just, oh, like, the funeral's going to be in a day or 2 days and everything's wham, bam, done.
And then it's also,
the funeral,
like,
was like a week or a week and a bit more, like, since it had happened, because then nothing could be planned until, like, the following Tuesday or Wednesday, like,
and then it's also like, can we not just get it done, like,
yeah, it's a bit of both, like,
it's like, because, like, my ma has always said this, and she's like, the true grieving does not start until after the funeral.
Yeah.
Because you're busy, you have to make decisions, like, there's people in and out all the time. Yeah. It's not until after the funeral when things go quiet.
Yeah. Because that's when people, like, slowly drop off, like, people have to go back to work.
Yeah.
And
back to reality. Like, that, at the end of the day, the world keeps turning. But I think when you're the one that's after losing someone, you're like, well, like, I know when anytime I've lost someone, I'm like, but why is the world still turning?
Yeah.
Like, why is the world still turning when I'm so hurt?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, why does no one understand this? Like, do you know, but that's not the way the world works. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's definitely, like,
I mean, Matt always said as well, like, any forced occasions are never the worst when you lose someone. Because the first birthday, they're gone. The first Christmas, they're gone. Everyone muddy coddles you.
Yeah,
because they remember and they're like, oh, like, and they ask about you and they'll reach out to you.
It's the when the years go by
and the second Christmas, it's when it's kind of just like, well, that happened like 2 years ago.
That's what it is.
Do you know that kind of way 100%. As well?
It's like when things fade out, people are so busy that they don't even realize, like, oh, like, that's exactly it. Like, first birthday, first Christmas, first, like, all the,
because it's a bigger deal, but then. It's a bigger deal to everyone else, but every year it's a big deal to you.
Exactly. I think that's probably one of the hardest things. It's like, then it gets around to the second or third, and you're like, it really sinks in with you, because everyone's in different places by 3 years later. Like, like, God only knows what's out there happening or whatnot. Like
new traditions, and you think of new ways to do things, and you might celebrate with different people than you used to, or if it's their birthday and they're obviously they're passing, they're not there, you'll do a tradition with the family that you do something, like go for a meal or release balloons or something, like, and then that's, but it's when people don't have them traditions and don't have them people around them that are kind of all grieving the same.
Yeah,
in a kind of
definitely.
Way.
But yeah, it's been a whirlwind.
Yeah. So that's why we haven't been recording.
Yeah.
Long story short. But yeah, you're back. Yeah. We're back. Well, we're back for...
Oh yeah, because I don't even think we said it. Niamh's also going home to Ireland for a month.
Yes, I am.
So, say a prayer, it's only a month.
Say a prayer, there's no debts.
Well, yeah.
I mean, oh, say... Your debt is just out all year.
Yeah, I think I've enough debt for the both of us for the next while. No, thanks.
I'll keep that. You can keep them coupons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've submitted them coupons in.
So we're trying to record as much as we can before I go.
Yeah. So bear with us. But
last time we both
like...
record, you might hear from us in 6 months.
See you in the new year after this, guys.
See you when I'm 29.
Oh, stop.
Will I be 29 6 months? No, I won't.
No.
Thank God. You won't see me at 29.
I'll be 26 though.
Maybe I'll die.
Touch wood. Yeah.
I always said
although
I could
then
never
I won't have to do this podcast.
I literally always said I could not see myself going 40.
What?
So if I die at 29, it's perfect.
That's
grim.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be 40. I'm not ready. I have a brain of a 16-year-old. I'm nearly not ready.
Sometimes I think that's like, when will I actually feel like an adult?
You never do. But like, I seen the TikTok and it was like, we need to go easy on our parents. Like, at the end of the day, Solid. they are adulting for the first time as well.
Yeah.
And I hate them videos and they're like, you've only been an adult like 7 years when you're 25. I'm like, hun, I'm still 16.
Yeah,
I am mentally still 16. Yeah. That word
26, that just, 36, 46, because, I'm 16.
Just because the age doesn't have teen at the end of it,
yeah,
doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
Does not mean shit.
Yeah. I'm just a 25 year old teenage girl. What do I know?
Yeah. It's 28 year old teenage girl.
Yeah. Teenage 20 year old.
You
I'm just
make
a girl.
Me feel like I'm living a teenage dream. But yeah, that is the madness that has been happening. And we just kind of wanted to sit down and let us know why we haven't been recording, where we have been. Things have just been crazy. There has been a lot more that has happened over the last 6 months, like in general, that we will fill you in on as well. But no more deaths.
No. Death be gone.
Death be gone.
Yeah.
Why does that remind me of Harry Potter? Oh my god, I actually seen Harry Potter at Christmas decorations.
Do you know for a second I thought you were going to say I actually seen Harry Potter and I was like, where? As if like Daniel Radcliffe's just walking around the Eaton Centre or
something. No. Would you think I'd be this calm?
No, Niamh fucking hyperventilating. There would be a death dent to Niamh on the floor.
Fucking, I'd be dead. I'd be dead.
I'd be dead.
You'd be calling Massey's.
Yeah. The girl who lived come to die.
The girl. The girl. And then you come in as Voldemort. The girl who lived. Has come
I'm like,
to die. What the fuck? Oh, why are you doing Spider-Man?
I fucked up. I was trying to say three different fucking spells at once.
Oh, but yeah. So that's... I think we'll wrap up. That was a bit heavy.
Yeah, we didn't meet. Yeah.
But...
there'll be no clips of this episode this week.
And there might be a few.
Yeah, me laughing but at like me dead
the,
dog.
The reason why we wanted to talk about, especially like about Amy's experience being home, is because I don't think it's highlighted enough. Like people that live away and then haven't experienced a death, mm-hmm. either being away and not being able to go home, because obviously you can't go home for every death eventually. Like,
yeah,
you'll never be in Toronto.
Yeah. I think it's like a factor that you don't, it's obviously not the first thing you think of when you're thinking of moving away, or it's not like a factor that kind of many people bring up, because like that you said, like that's like a touchy subject where like everyone thinks of like, oh, how will you be on your own when you move, what if you don't make friends, what if you can't get a job, what if you don't like the food, and it's never like, oh, what are you gonna do in case of an emergency, or what are you gonna do if like XYZ passes, or like God forbid a parent or someone you know becomes really ill, like do you come home when they're sick, do you go home and wait for them to pass, like when, like there are all the things you have to think about, is like how much time you have left with certain people and stuff, and it's, yeah,
I think it's hard to like be like, oh well, if my parent got sick I would go home for XYZ amount of time, 100%. Then come back for this amount and then go back. I think you kind of have to deal with the character
that's the thing,
dealt
yeah,
as
you
well
have to face it when it kind of comes.
And you also have to think, like, right, if it's inedible that they're sick and they're probably going to die, like, you have to think of, it's a lot to think of, because you can't just think of, you have to think of, like, right, where's my life going to be after they've gone?
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of way as well? Because
that's the thing, you need to live for yourself. So if you constantly live to it, okay, I'm going to live near and close to my parents until they pass, and then I'll live my life, like, I'll be able to go here. It's like, at the end of the day, your parents could outlive you. Like, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they're just all the things that come to your mind. It's like, oh, do I move home, or do I move to a new country, or do I go here? Do I make more time to go home? Or then it's like, if you're constantly back and forth to going home, you're not really living for yourself. Like, as much as I think both of us are kind of like close with your families, or like family oriented people kind of, you do have to live for yourself. 100%. In that sense, like,
you can't live for other people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, and you probably know this now more than that, is like, tomorrow's not promised. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%. If you have the privilege to, I'm not saying it's a privilege, that's a weird word, I shouldn't have said that, but like, if you are, if you don't die suddenly, is what I'm trying to say, you don't want to be on death's door, on fucking your deathbed, and be like, oh, like, I wish I done this.
Yeah.
Or, oh, like, if I really want to, I could have done this. Like, that was one of the reasons, like, me and Aaron moved here, because I said, I don't want to be on my deathbed being like, shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah. 100%.
I'd rather say, like, oh, remember when, than what. Definitely. If, like, do you know what I mean?
And I think that's one of the things I taught a lot about when that did happen, like, when my uncle passed. It did cross my mind. It's like, oh, like, do I want to go back to Ireland? Like, my biggest fear has just happened, and thank God I was here, because obviously, in a sense, the biggest fear is like being here and getting a phone call that someone like that, like your uncle's passed, or God forbid, like your parents or whoever, and it's like, that's just happened, and I was like, it can only happen again and again with the people you're close with.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you make that move? So it's like, oh, do you move home? Then it's like, but move home for what? To wait for a debt? To wait for that, like, or like that to me too, little cousins.
To put my life on pause.
Yeah, like, put your life
just for the next event to happen. So then it's just convenient that I'm there.
Yeah, that's it. And it's like, you can't live like that in a way.
Put it this way, we're so lucky that we live somewhere where it's a 6 hour, 7 hour flight.
Yeah.
I have a cousin who's in Australia, and she couldn't even fly home to my granddad's funeral.
Yeah.
It just wasn't doable. But thank God, like, they live stream funerals now.
Yeah, they do that now.
Like, in a sense of when you can't go home, and there is going to be times where you can't go home for every funeral. That's just life. Like, you can't just drop everything every single time. Yeah. Like, life doesn't work like that. But I don't know where I was going with this.
I don't know either. But yeah,
I was saying, oh, we're so privileged, basically, that we can,
we're not that far away. Like, we do live in a world where you can get a flight the next day.
We fly on, well, we arrive technically the next day, but
we're lucky. Like, here has daily flights with multiple airlines to Ireland. Like, even if you weren't that far away, you could be in a country where maybe they only fly to Ireland 2-3 times a week, or maybe it's a stopover somewhere. Like, we're like, we are lucky in that sense that it's like, if God forbid something happened tonight, you could be on a plane in the morning or in the afternoon of the next day,
or
like
tonight.
Yeah, that's it, like, exactly. So it is like, looking,
is that like two flights? The Air Canada one is usually 1 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and the Aer Lingus one is 5:45.
Yeah, or like, I think mine's 10 to 5,
or maybe it's 20 to 5. I thought it was 26. I'm trying to picture, like, does it say 16:40 or 17:40? Maybe it's 17.
Sometimes I think they change it by hour, sometimes depending on the time difference. Yeah, and stuff like that.
Like, there is two flights to them, and then, like, during the summer, there's obviously WestJet as well. Then there's Air Transat. Like, there is loads of flights that go out. Like,
and then there's Icelandic as well. But they stop over in Iceland. Iceland.
Yeah, like, quick little holiday before you go.
I couldn't be doing that. I'm just like, get me there. Like, when I'm on mine, I'm just like,
get me there. I don't want to do 50 minutes off.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, like, it does make, like, put it into perspective as well, where, like, you think about all the things you want to get done before, God forbid, aunt passes you. Like,
yeah,
before you knock on death's door, in a sense. And it's like, how's you thinking about a lot of stuff like that? Like, oh, is this what I want? Is that what I want? Do I want to do this? Or, like, because I know I went through a phase where I was like, I don't care about aunt. Yeah, I come back, I was like, oh, like, I don't care about, I just want to rot. And then it's like, no, like,
but even
you go through waves.
Yeah, like, even at that, it's like, when you even come back from vacation, you don't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah,
like, this house will crumble around me. Like, I literally, I'm just so exhausted, like, mentally, physically, like, I just can't. Do you know what I mean? So, like, imagine going home and dealing with a death and then having to come back, and you're not going to come back and be like, right, everything's hunky dory.
Yeah.
You're exactly. still going to have, that's your time then to process without the chaos and the, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like trying to look after other people. Like that was your time when you came back to like process your own emotions.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's why I didn't want to be like all on top of you the minute you came back either. I was like, she knows I'm here. I've talked to her like.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, because we didn't even say, so I was supposed to come home like of a Friday, and then last minute I like changed for like to come home like a day later. But like I got a free upgrade to business, so it was like, it wasn't necessarily that I was like, oh, I need one more day here, like that. I was trying to prolong it in that way, because I remember when I told people, they were like, what? They were like, why? And I was like, well, I got a free upgrade to business, and I've already had to pay through the nose to like extend me flight, and initially the forced flight home was already expensive enough, and then like the change fee, the extra flight, like change, like I may as well get fucking business class out of it. Like, oh yeah, what's a business?
Yeah, premium, it wasn't economy, wasn't it?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So I was like, I may as well get like a semi bougie experience out of the flight home. Like, so
100%.
Neve was like, oh, what? Neve was devastated.
Like, she's like, fucking I was never coming home.
Telling you.
Why?
What did I don't do? No, because I just felt real bad.
Should.
Because I knew you were excited to see me because I'm an amazing family. No, but I mean, like, I mean, when I was shitting telling you when I pushed it another day, because we had only been talking like on the Wednesday or something, or the Thursday morning, being like, oh my god, like, yeah, but we need to go to Jimmy's or like whatever. We were really excited about.
When you changed it a day, you didn't say, oh, I got premium economy.
Did I not?
No.
Oh.
Literally.
So, oh my god, were you annoyed with me?
No, I didn't care. It's not like I could do. I'm so like, I was like, I don't know why she's have to change it an extra day.
Yeah, it seemed stupid. Really weird.
But I was like, yeah, why not? If you can, why not? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I didn't find out till like the next time I seen it in person.
Oh, I thought I had said it.
No. If you told me straight off the bat, like, oh, here, I'm going to have to get premium economy for the next day. Like, I'm changing me flight. Yeah. Like, I'd have been like, yeah, don't blame me.
Yeah. Because like, to get premium, to get the premium economy on the flight I was on, I would have had to pay like $500, but to go the next day I was getting it for free, so I was like, well, I may as well.
Yeah, like math. Yeah, like, that math even ain't math.
No, it ain't fucking math nearly. Oh, here in Canada. But yeah, I forgot about my little coffee concoction.
Kind of store. I made us iced coffees.
Yeah, mine's down here. Mine's a lot.
I'll have to spray it all over myself.
Mine's a bit darker.
Yeah, she only wanted it.
Have to be careful of the bells.
Yeah, I know.
Can't be having too much shit.
I have to redecorate my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we'll wrap it up here.
Yeah. Sorry, it was a bit kind of morbid for the whole episode, but
morbid, but hopefully people, especially. Hopefully,
yeah, I think a lot of people will be able to relate and stuff, and
hopefully yous can't, like, not wishing death on anyone.
Yeah.
But if yous can, like, if
it's a bit comforting to know. Sometimes it's comforting to know what our people have experienced the same thing, or like something similar in a way. Like,
and it's so many different types of death. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I think how someone passes has a lot to impact on how you grieve it.
100%.
1000%. Yeah.
Because like, although someone could be sick for years, months, whatever, and you know it's coming, it's still never easy to
as
deal
much as you're
with.
Trying to mentally,
yeah,
almost like pre-grieve.
Yeah.
And I pre-grieve all the time,
because that's the thing. It's like, what's worse, right? Like, I don't think there's a proper answer, but what's worse is sudden death or someone you to spend a year grieving if they're sick for a year and then pass. It's like you're kind of spending a whole year grieving a loss that hasn't happened to you, and then have to grieve it when it happens too.
Because
you're thinking about the life and their future and everything that you could have or won't have now.
And also,
like,
seeing them,
they're
disintegrate.
Both hard. Yeah. Seeing someone like, deteriorate like that, it's
I don't
probably
think
one of the saddest things.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any perfect way.
No.
It's like, yeah, but that person was sick, but you got to have conversations and say what
that's
you want.
The thing, like,
but then when someone dies suddenly, it's like, that opportunity is ripped from under you. Like, did they know how I felt about this? Like, did like,
but like, no, trying to think your last conversation you had with someone, like, that's like, I think that's one of the hardest things as well. Then when you're like, what did we even talk about? What did we even say? Well, it's the last time I was like, oh, I love you, or whatever. Like, they are really hard. Where when you know someone's passing, you kind of make that effort people are like, oh, love you, I'll see you tomorrow, like, well, hopefully, whatever. But like, they're hopefully you're still here tomorrow, love you.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. But like, they are then, it's like, then that prolonging of like, every day you think you're saying goodbye for the last time when you know someone's passing. It's like, they are both really hard, and I don't think there's an easier option because it's never easy losing someone, even though it's inevitable. And it's mad that it's just not regularly talked about, when like, that it is inevitable. Like, there's two things that are gonna happen in this world. You're gonna be born and you're gonna die.
Yeah. And you're like, and
we don't know how long.
This is what I think about more than probably I should, but it's more recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously when my parents die, how I'm going to cope with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's when people I know as parents die, and how I comfort them. Because if I haven't lost a parent, but to say you lost a parent, mm-hmm. I can't fathom how you feel.
Yeah.
I could see you at your absolute worst.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't even know. I wouldn't even know where to begin, because I'm like, if I felt an inch of how she feels, is not.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare.
And I think that's one of the hardest things as well, is like, you're grieving for yourself and the loss you've had. But then I found with me, sometimes it was like, I'm grieving this like significant loss, like this person who was like a big part of my life growing up. But then I would catch them and I'm like, oh, but there was people that were a bit closer. Like, I think of,
you're grieving
like,
for them.
Yeah, I was grieving for everyone around me. I was grieving like for my cousin. I was grieving for me auntie and my dad. That's my dad's brother. Like, then it was like, look at that picture of them, and they're like, they were close, like all three of the brothers were close in age. Like, there was a year, maybe two between them. But like, the two of them like tick his teeth growing up, and it's like, how do you comfort a parent that's now lost their brother? Or how do you comfort like that your auntie that's lost their older brother? They're like, that like looks after them or stuff like that, or like that, like a cousin that's then lost their parent, but he's also like your uncle, and like you're all very close. It's like, it's like
what I said, I'm just using you as an example, because here, but it was like, if you lost a parent, like, I can't imagine how that would feel. Like, I'd be grieving for you.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be heartbroken for them. And like, losing a parent around like that, that's a different level.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously it hits close to home as we get older.
Yeah,
because it's something you do think about more. And you're not there, not that we're putting our parents into their graves, or not.
No, but I do think about it a lot. Like,
so do I. Yeah. And I'm like, am I just torturing myself? Is this what I'm trying to do? Like, and I literally think like, it is a thing called, like, you try to pre-grieve before.
I think so too.
It has happened.
And pre-plan.
Like, I try pre-grieve Armistead. And that's not like, me being bad, it's either going to be me or Aaron. Someone's gone before someone, and that is hard.
It's, yeah. That's the thing. It's like, thinking that it's like, the only way we won't have to deal with our parents' deaths is if we go first. Like, touch wood.
Jesus Christ, but Amy's that, like, no, right, that, you jump, I jump.
But no, but that's the thing. It's like, the only way I won't, like, because obviously, like we said, like, death is inevitable. It's going to happen. You're going to be at, like, hopefully you don't have to go to loads of funerals in your life. But like, if then they have to go to yours, like, if you're not around, like, that kind of way, like, it goes, let's just all just go together.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it is. Like, so I think about that all the time, and I always think, like, I don't know if I'm trying to pre-plan, so like, if it happens, I have different options. bless you,
I'm good, thank you.
I don't know if, like, it's one of them things that's like, maybe it's a cope mechanism. If I have these different plans laid out in my head, that like, if God forbid me dad pass, like, do I go, like, I'll go home for this, and I'll be there, and we have to sort everything out. Or like, then it's different then if me mom passed, and it's like, right, then I've, what do I do then? That then, like, I have a whole house here to sort through, because she's the person that lives there. And it's like, it's, they're two different like kind of things. And I don't know, it's just weird. Or then, like, God forbid aunt and have me auntie, and I'm like, I'm the executor of her will and the carer of her kids, and it's like, nothing better happened to you, and I'm just now like the carer of two fucking kids. Like, I don't know, I just always think about, I'm not saying every day I'm sitting here planning out everybody's debts, but like, I think especially, I don't know if it's especially when you move away, it's just, it's a bigger thing than like, you're thinking about that when you're thinking, oh, stay here, go somewhere else, go home, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, just live your life.
That's all you can do.
Because you can't plan around, you can't, you, like, as you said, death is inevitable. Mm-hmm. When it happens, and the world keeps spinning at the end. Unfortunately, the world does keep spinning.
100%. And you'll only, like, you'll only do yourself harm stressing about it, which is obviously easier said than done. There is going to be days where you're maybe feeling a bit down when you're thinking about this or whatever it is, where it's like you have to live for yourself and like live your life to the fullest. So then when it does come around, everyone can say, well, she lived life to the fullest, or she done everything she wanted to do, or she done as much as she could do, or whatever it is you want to do. Like,
plus you have people around you when and shit like that does happen to like keep you going, and like they're not gonna let you stand still for too long. You can stand still after something like that happens, but I don't think like, even like, say if it was friends, like say when, God forbid, like Aaron goes before me, I don't think you'd let me grieve for fucking, like, you'd be not that you can't grieve, but like you have to start making new memories now, like not that you're saying like go out on a date, nothing like that, because I'd laugh in your face and be like, date,
no coffee date to Jimmy's with me,
coffee dates on, but you know what I mean, I think if you have you good people around you'll get through it, and you know what I mean,
100%.
I'd be skull dragging you out of gaff,
yeah,
you wouldn't even need to open the door, I'll just crawl into your balcony, and low enough,
I won't be here for long. Everything's getting knocked down in my life,
but you get back up.
It knocks you down, you know what, just get back like, up.
I think I went through my bout of change in 2021, and I think this is like your now era of like your bout of change.
Yeah, I think so.
And you'd be skull dragged through it, like you skull dragged me through 2021. Yeah. I'll skull drag you through
2023. I was only thinking about that the other day. I was like, oh my god, I was like, every year, every new year we've said on the podcast, this is our year to like, everything's gonna happen, everything we want to get happen. Last year was so shit, this year's gonna be better. Not to blame you, but since we've met each other, every year's gradually gone worse.
It's not gone worse.
No, it has.
2022 was fine.
No, I feel like something happened. I feel like every year it's happened, something just happened. I don't know.
We done great in 2022. We had loads of guests. No, we didn't have any guests.
I'm not even saying just podcast wise. I feel like stuff got old. Like, I don't know. I don't. No, I can't.
2022
think...
was good.
I don't know. I feel like something happened in 2022.
No, nothing happened in 2022. That's why we were all fucking up death's door when 2023, and that's all gone to shit. 2022.
Maybe
was
I was just depressed in 2022 or something. I feel like every year it was like, this year is my year, and then every year I was like, ugh.
You know what it is, I think it's also the cycle of like the beginning of a new year, you're like, yeah, this is it, like, yeah, this. And then it's like you get into
the year, like, is long, kind of like, and like, yeah,
it's kind of like, oh, it's a bit of a fucking effort, isn't it?
Yeah,
just in general, like, I don't really know if I have all these plans I really want to do.
Yeah,
I do want to do them, but like, oh, the effort kind of didn't happen, like
the self-sabotage was like,
oh, 100%, that's what it is.
Yeah,
but no, we actually better wrap this up.
Yeah, this was a lot longer than expected, and we need more to do today. I hope you enjoyed this episode, but I hope it maybe brought you some peace of mind to know that other people think about these things or have experienced them, and you'll eventually get through and you'll learn to live alone. Any Liverpool supporters out there, you'll never walk alone with you.
Well, I'm actually a Michael Jackson, but
no, I know. Oh, you're far away. I am here to stay. Well, you're not if you die.
Your spirit's
he dead now. Oh yeah, we should
no,
I'm not saying it now, but like, we'll talk about spooky stuff in another episode for Halloween.
Spooky
or maybe
spooky.
We've already talked about it.
You should literally talk about your experiences lately.
Yeah, that's I've had spooky say. experiences, so uncle, if you're listening to this, fuck off.
Or whoever you are,
whoever bust that crawling through the apartment. Oh, that's cute thing. But yeah, so I thought you were laughing.
No, I looked at Trent because he's out cold.
Trent's out cold. But yeah, so if you enjoyed this episode, there will be plenty more out hopefully in the future. Make sure you're following us on our socials, Instagram, TikTok at the Weird Girls Club. Follow us on Spotify or Apple if you're listening on audio, and rate us please. We would really appreciate it. Or if you're watching the video on YouTube, please like, comment and subscribe. Yeah, see you in the next one.
Subscribe.
Bye.
Bye.